I'm Spencer, and I work at United Healthcare.
So, Spencer, why do you care?
I care because my daughter, Adeline, has special needs. I am motivated by Adeline, who inspires me every day. I am driven to help families like mine navigate the healthcare system.
I'm so blessed to lead an amazing team at United Healthcare, focusing on the member experience and making that better.
I'm Spencer, and I'm committed to care.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Good to be back after a couple of days. Yeah. Hope everybody's good.
All good?
You good?
Yeah, normal weekend, nothing crazy.
I saw you finished up some stuff around the house.
Oh,
I finally
got the hardware all together. I painted the walls. I'm pretty much done other than ceiling fan and track light, which I'll just deal with later. That's a future Cody problem.
Little by little, you get that taken care of. So I saw that. That was good to see. Got back last night. We would talk about the trip a little bit throughout the show today. I was up in Canada for a couple of days. And it was a good trip. I'll tell you this real quick off the bat, though. There was no way, if I would have worn the USA hoodie, would have been no issue at all.
None?
Everybody was so nice that I was sitting next to, and you're like, well, that's because you weren't being a jerk. But I wasn't going to ever say anything. It would not have been a problem at all. The people around me, I could have wore the USA hoodie. I could have had a gold medal around my neck. They wouldn't have said a damn thing.
You sure?
Yes.
You didn't have it.
Now, around the concourse, I would have got looks. But the people I was sitting next to, very nice gentleman to my right. We were talking throughout the game. It would not have been a problem.
You think it'd have been okay?
Yes.
Maybe you got lucky.
And then, of course, when I got home last night, there was the UPS package waiting. I'm like, oh, thank you for finally showing up. Now the question is, do I just return it?
Nice. I haven't even
opened it up.
After the whole week?
What's that?
Said after the whole weekend and nobody.
It's in one of those, has one of those like, I don't know what you would call them, mailboxes, but they're like the kind where you have to enter a code and opens up and they keep it in there for a couple days.
Sure,
anybody who lives in an apartment complex now knows that's what most of them have now.
I haven't lived in a car. Yeah.
They're kind of like
while, so, yeah.
Newer. They're called, gotcha. Like there's a company that makes all of them now, and they're all it's all digital.
And they sit right outside your apartment, or
no,
are they still back
it's
at the
a, it's
lobby?
In the lobby or whatever. It's basically like a lockbox essentially.
Well, glad you made it back safely. You know, someone says it looks like you went to a rave.
We'll get to that. Yeah, it wasn't a rave, but I guess it might as well have been. There's some cool elements in Montreal that they do, especially in the summertime outdoor festivals. And there was one in the wintertime, and that's why I could only stay out there for a few of it. I don't know how people stood there for 3 hours all night listening
to
techno
music. Built different.
They are. They definitely are. So.
Okay, I have a question, because Dusty, he keeps on talking about Cody's hairstyle, and he got a high fade, and he's never seen Cody in a high fade before. I noticed you got it cut. But is this a new hairstyle? Is it new?
I think he just
did really short on the side.
He did the fade instead of like just a standard fade. I think he did more of a skin fade.
Yeah, it's really short.
But other than that, it's the same hairstyle.
Okay.
So it's slightly shorter, probably on the side.
Dusty said it looks nice, and yes, it does look good. And I knew that you
feel like that's not what he said. The way Mac laughed and the way Drew's talking about it, I actually don't think that is what Dusty said. I think he said his hair looks stupid.
No. Dusty likes the haircut. He was like, wait, did Cody get the high fade? Is that a new hairstyle? I said, I know he got a cut. I don't know. It looks similar.
Well, I think Cody finally was talking about last week, you know, he wanted to support the troops more. So he's trying to eventually go full military cut. So
yeah,
that's what Cody said last week when I was gone.
Shout out to you, Cody. Good job.
You know, to support.
It's I can't wear it as long as you and Drew do. It makes me crazy.
How long would it take for your hair to grow out as long as Gold's or eyes?
You think? I don't know.
Not that long. The top is probably not way different in length, right? So as long as it took that to grow out, I guess.
I didn't notice the haircut until you guys just said that, and now I'm like, oh yeah, I can see it. So
you got the good lineup, yeah.
So we'll
barber.
We'll get into some other things that happened from the weekend. Also, a couple of things I want to run by you guys from the trip up in Montreal. But let's start with the news of the day, I guess, even though it is not surprising by any means. And you guys can always interact on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and X. That is that Juwan Taylor is expected to be released, barring something shocking happening with the trade or something like that. But he's expected to get released. We all knew this was a real possibility because, A, performance not living up to contract. But also the real financial ramifications that exist with his contract that he signed and the fact that they can save $20 million and get under the cap by the start of the league year by cutting Juwan Taylor. And they'll still have to eat some of that money. Let's not forget, they're $27.4 million cap hit. So they're still going to eat some of that money. But in my opinion, Cody, they have their right tackle in 2026 on the roster, and it's Jalen Moore. And I know we can get into this. There's some speculation. Could they draft a tackle? Could they sign a tackle? For me, I want to take advantage of the first time in at least two, maybe three plus years, I don't have to spend a premium pick or serious resources on the O-line. Take advantage of the fact that
nothing but doing that for five straight years.
Take advantage of the fact that you have, in my opinion, your franchise left tackle. I understand Josh Simmons was not as available as we would have liked with the weird absence and everything. But in my opinion, they have their left tackle. I think they have a solid left guard. We know they got one of the best centers. We know they got one of the best right guards in football. Jalen Moore can be very serviceable as a right tackle. You're also paying him a good chunk of change. Do not spend a premium draft pick, pick 9 or 40, on an offensive lineman this year, please. You don't take it, use that to fill other areas. Whether you think it's running back, we'll get to Jeremiah Love. Whether you think it is defensive line, certainly that's where I would like them to go. Maybe a wide receiver, maybe a safety. That's what I want them to do. So Juwan Taylor getting cut, to me, is kind of a no-brainer move, but do not now cut him and then go spend a ton more resource-wise on that same position this offseason.
No, why did you bring in Jalen Moore, legitimately, if he's not going to start now? That was the whole point. Was to protect yourself against Simmons, and so that you could also, if Simmons worked out, protect yourself against the eventuality that Jalen, you know, or that Juwan Taylor was going to be too expensive. So, like, the first plan, fine, the backup plan, you didn't need him right away, right? Simmons was working, you had Juwan Taylor, you wouldn't even bench Juwan Taylor for Jalen Moore. And here's the truth, and I think we talked about this last week with Nate Taylor, I think. Juwan Taylor, for whatever it's worth, is a better player than Jalen Moore. They are about to be worse at right tackle. Whether people want to admit it or not, Juwan Taylor was not as bad as you all think he was. He had problems, and the false starts were an issue, and it was
55 penalties. And 55 penalties in his Chiefs career.
He's a penalty damn machine. But from a blocking perspective, he is better than most people are giving him credit for. Jalen Moore is worse at blocking than Juwan Taylor. So it's a slight dip. But what's the point if you have the highest paid guard, highest paid center, a second round pick at left guard and a first round pick at left tackle? We're good. You've spent the investment. You got to figure out a way. Andy Heck's got to coach him up. Whatever it's got to take in order to make it work. I'm not saying don't bring in competition for Jalen Moore. You want to take a tackle in the third round, fourth round. You want to bring somebody in. You want a free agent that's a swing tackle who can straight up be in a competition with Jalen Moore. You want Esipole to, like, you know, they're going to get equal snaps in a mini camp. And they're going to compete for the job. That's fine, too. I don't care. But, like, the Juwan Taylor stuff, it's both. It's not the worst signing they've ever made. He's better than you think he is. But, yes, it's also time to go. Like, both things can be true. Like, I'm not trying to run him out of town like he's, like, that he's just been the worst right tackle in the history of this team. But I'm also not willing to pay him the $27 million cap hit he'd be due if they weren't to make this move. This is a logical move.
Yep.
It gets him back in cap compliance. Now they got a little bit of wiggle room to do whatever's next, right? Whoever's contract they're dealing with next. Because this is one of many moves that still remain.
Right, and I know the report says barring a trade. I just don't know. If I'm another team, why would I give up any sort of draft capital and eat some of that salary. It makes no sense to me. I'm just going to let him walk, let him become a free agent, and then negotiate from there. And he will get signed fairly early on in free agency.
I mean, there are teams who are desperate.
Yeah, like he will get signed fairly early on. He's an experienced right tackle. He is a Super Bowl champion right tackle. They won a Super Bowl with him as a right tackle. Yep. All right, so he absolutely should and will get signed somewhere and get a nice little contract somewhere else. His issue, we all know, was the penalties. You know, this is it's a weird thing to say, like, if you take the penalties away, he was serviceable and pretty damn good. But 55 penalties and 300 yards or whatever it was of penalties is just flat out unacceptable. And just got to a point where it just was such a killer on drives for this football team.
Yeah. And look, here's the reality. I saw the same reports you guys did over the weekend. I think it was Daniel Harms and a million other people just being like, I don't think you guys are giving enough credit to the fact that tackle is a very real possibility at nine. I'm like, are you serious?
I don't like that.
It better not be. Like, it better not be. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Like, I understand this idea of, like, surrounding talent with Mahomes. That is important. Put it somewhere else. What do you mean? So you're trying to tell me they take one at nine. The right tackle will be pick number nine. The left tackle will be their first-round pick from the year before that. Their left guard will be the second-round pick from the year before that. And the two highest-paid players at their position will be at center and right guard. Well, then I'll tell you this much. They spend pick number nine at right tackle. It better damn sure be, without argument, the number one offensive line in football. Like, they're better not even be like, well, I could make an argument for Denver's. Or that, no, it better be like, without question, the number one offensive line in the league, and everybody agrees. Look at them. They're a force to be reckoned with. No one can stop them. They give up 6 sacks for the entire year. They better be great if that's the kind of resource allocation you're going to throw at this damn thing. And look, I don't know how real it is. I think maybe it's some of it's smokescreen stuff, because right now, out of the top 10, I think the Chiefs are actually the toughest team to predict in what they're going to take. Because you can make an argument as it sits for
a lot of angles.
Tight end, safety, edge. Now they've introduced tackle and wide receiver. Good luck guessing what's at nine. Maybe they want people to jump ahead of them and take different positions. Maybe they want people to entertain trading with them so they could trade down. But right now, they're a real mystery in this. The first, like, 5 teams, I think I can get it down to 1 to 2 positions. Like, at 2, it's edge. Like, it's not even a mystery. At 1, it's quarterback. So the first 2 picks, I don't have to think about it. I'm good there. There's a little bit of diagnosing, but when you get to the Chiefs, it's 5 or 6 positions.
Yeah, it's great to be top 10, but there are teams in front of you that would, I think, gladly take a couple of the defensive ends that are available, you know, and Bain and Bailey, if you think they're both going to go early. It's not just because of their talent, but there's team like the Commanders, for example, that they also would like some defensive end help. Okay, are both those guys slipping back the Commanders? Very unlikely. You know, it's a team like Tennessee who hired a defensive-minded head coach in Robert Saleh. You don't think that they're very interested in a defensive lineman when you have a defensive-minded head coach like that? I think they are, and likely could take a defensive lineman. So you just get into a scenario where if you're the Chiefs, if those two guys are off the board, does that make you pivot then to safety and Caleb Downs? Is Caleb Downs a guy that's going to go way higher than we even think? We'll get to the wide receiver stuff here a little bit later on. Did some of the combine is major overreaction anyway, but how much did that shift the opinion of some people? We'll get to a mock draft later. Jay Binkley's going to join us in 20 minutes from Character Concerns. I want to ask him about the biggest mover in his opinion based off of what we just saw take place in Indianapolis. But yeah, offensive line, you know, if we make our list of positions that you think should be off the table, not that they are, like the Chiefs, I do think, I agree with you, have probably 5 positions. To me, offensive line is off the table at 9. It's not for the Chiefs, I don't think, but I do not want them investing in O-line in the first or second round. They want to draft a right tackle in the 3rd or 4th round. Sure, fine. It's all good. They can draft any position in the 3rd round, I honestly.
I really stopped caring right around there.
But not at 9 and even 40? No, man, I really don't want them to do that. If they need to go draft a right tackle or sign one again next year, if Jalen Moore doesn't pan out, then so be it. Take an offseason, quote-unquote, off of having to spend significant resources at that position because you have major needs on the defensive line, at wide receiver. Hell, you could talk me into tight end more than them taking an offensive lineman at 9. And you know I really don't want them to draft Sadiq, but he was impressive. I would take that selection over a right tackle at 9.
We'll talk more about running backs coming up at 11 o'clock because there's at least one available, but one of the other ones who was available no longer is. Adam Schefter says the Texans have now traded for running back David Montgomery. Over the weekend, after it was mentioned he was available, David Montgomery to the Lions. The Lions get a fourth round pick, offensive lineman Juice Scruggs, and a seventh round pick.
Wow.
In return. So
they'll probably use that fourth round pick to draft another one.
I got to say, that feels like pretty good return for the Lions. And we can talk about this later.
Because initially he reported it was for a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Now, his first tweet 13 minutes ago, Lions sending David Montgomery, the Texans, for a fifth round pick. I'm like, huh, would I have done that if I'm the Chiefs fifth rounder? And then I see, yeah, it's Montgomery for a fourth, a lineman, and a seventh.
How did that change?
I have no idea how Schefter
did. I don't know. We'll talk about it coming up at 11 o'clock because there's another running back available as well. But still, there is some interest in that. Let's talk a little bit about the Royals. They over the weekend on Friday night, it first started to leak out. Maybe it was possible. Then on Saturday, John Heyman and others were hinting at the possibility that it was close to a done deal. And while the Royals have not officially announced it, I'm pretty sure it's a done deal. Starling Marte is going to be a Kansas City Royal as an additional right-handed outfielder. And I'll say, this makes all the sense in the world, and you do not need to panic that this means anything for Jack Caglione or Isaac Collins, in my opinion. You know this means something for Nick Lofton. This means something for the guy who might have been player number 26 on the roster, who would start 1 to 2 days a week and available. Starling Marte, for what it's worth, is a million years old. 37 by baseball standards, that's pretty old. But was a lot better than I realized he had been, and a player that I know the Royals have coveted for, oh, I don't know, 5 to 7 years at least. He had 270 last year, 335 on base, 410 slug and a 745 OPS. He played in 98 games. Perfect. This is the player that they've been playing these Nick Lofton-y types, these non-established major leaguers, and Tyler Tolbert, and they've been moving around. This is an established veteran. This is as good as like when they traded for Tommy Pham in the playoff year. This is kind of a perfect fit for an occasional right-handed outfielder who can hit lefties.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would be upset with the move. Nobody should sit here and act like it's this amazing signing, but it also, yes, makes sense. You know, it's, to me, it's a smart move if you want to have some depth. As you said, coming off the bench as a pinch hitter instead of a Nick Lofton type, it's Starling Marte. Yeah, that's an upgrade. It's a bit of bargain bin shopping. He's available March 2nd for a reason. I don't know if we have the exact dollar amount yet. You know, it's going to be a 1-year deal reportedly, so it's not going to be anything too crazy. He's someone that does provide you, though, insurance. Let's say, A, injury always, but let's say Isaac Collins, what he was in August, is just, you know, is the reason why he came up to the big leagues late. Let's say Isaac Collins just doesn't have it. I hope that's not the case, but let's say he just doesn't have it. Has a rough start to the season. Okay, there's an option for you. Let's say Kyle Isbell, who had a career year. Let's say he falls off, or Lane Thomas, who you thought was going to be the guy to bounce back post-injury. Maybe he struggles. Or Jack Caglione doesn't figure it out. He's an insurance policy. He's an insurance policy, but also a nice veteran to have in the clubhouse. That also, to me, on a given day, if he's in the lineup, you feel like he can still give you something. And yeah, it's probably the 90 to 100 game range, if we're being fair, of what you're going to see. If he plays more than that, it means
someone got hurt
or performance really, really is lacking from the names we just mentioned. So yeah, it's not a nothing burger, but it also is a move that is more about insurance, in my opinion, and depth than anything else.
Yeah, I don't think it's telling. Like, I think, and you were gone last week, I'm all aboard Cags. Hype training.
Good.
All aboard.
Cody.
I don't know that I never.
You're all aboard?
Yeah, see, I don't think I ever left. But am I?
I got the CAG shirt on right now, man. If you're watching on the video stream.
But it's, I'm back. I'm all the way back. If there was any part that wavered, and this show didn't really waver much because it's 60 games and there's no reason. And I pointed out Junior Caminero's. It has season from years 1 and 2 to 3. You don't have to. This is the kind of move smart baseball teams make in order to complete a roster. It's a few million bucks. It's better than having some 4A player who you and I get tired of seeing on a Sunday afternoon or a getaway Wednesday where you're like, boy, the lineup's looking rough today. Because you get through the bottom part of the order, Starling Marte can at least provide some offensive spark. And I, you know, like again, he gets on base still in an okay clip. Same point I pointed out as any player they brought in. You do realize Starling Marte would have been like second on this team in on base percentage, right?
So
last year, get on base a little bit, be able to get knocked in, like move forward. You know?
Yes. I always think though, when we talk outfield, anybody that wants to cite and be like, well, he would have been one of their best outfielders last year. Yeah. The bar was extremely low.
I mean, he would have gotten on base more than most of the team.
The outfield, I mean, there's not many guys they could have brought in, Cody, that would have been worse. Again, their opening day left fielder
the worst outfield they've ever had.
Opening day left fielder not make it through the season. He's now with the Mets, and to his credit, good for MJ. I saw he had a home run or two the other day in spring for New York. Good for him. And then the other outfielder is not in baseball right now in Hunter Renfro, right? So
no. He never got back.
I don't think I've ever seen an
MJ.
Yeah, he had two home runs.
Good for him.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I hope it works out for him.
So do I.
Sometimes a change of pace will do it. Jack Caglione's been very good in spring training. And it's not just because he's been good in spring training. That's the same as, you know, letting it rip in double and triple A. He's still going to have to do it in the bigs.
Mm-hmm.
He's just still one of the most talented prospects. Let's just call him a prospect for the sake of, I understand he's not technically. But as a player who's played less than 60 games, he's one of the most talented young players in baseball. And it would look different if it was there. But it's a good signing. It's a good signing by the Royals. I got no complaints about it. You have fun
on your
trip?
Surprised? Surprised, though, like that at this point they brought in a vet? Like, we thought that was going to happen a month ago, maybe.
I am not kidding.
Like a
on
month
Friday,
ago.
On Friday, typed into the rundown, and we talked about it very briefly, was the Royals should add – I wish I was kidding. The Royals should add – an outfield bat, the way that these veterans are finally getting signed. There's no reason not to have a righty. Wanted this exact signing.
Perfect.
So, nope, not surprised. Fits perfect. Is a logical fit. Does not change anything about how you should feel about the Major League roster. It is just a good depth add. That's all. You didn't have to worry about Royals outfielders. You were in Montreal.
Yeah.
You didn't get your ass kicked by a Canadian.
I did not.
You're squared away there.
Everybody, I mean, this won't surprise you. Everybody there was super nice.
That's good.
Super nice, especially at the hockey game. And in the hockey game, well, yeah, it was certainly one of the highlights. We talked about it last week. And it made me want an NHL team even more. And I know the Montreal Canadiens, that atmosphere is like top level. Okay.
Yeah. Peek and peek.
The Bell Center, which is the venue, I'll say this. So it has the history and everything, but T-Mobile Center's nicer. Like,
Now
there's elements that they have added on at Bell Center because it's the Canadiens' home. So, like, you know, T-Mobile Center is very bland. There's no team. It's a very bland building.
Sure.
So it would, that
it looks
stuff,
like it belongs to
totally.
The
it's got history. It belongs. And saying, you know, some of the areas where, like, I don't know, their version of their Hall of Fame or whatever, if you, you know, it was cool to see to walk around. But T-Mobile Center, I'm like, it's nicer. Like, the seats didn't have any cup holders or anything, Cody, anywhere in the building. I couldn't see it. Anyway, so little stuff like that. But it was an awesome atmosphere. The funniest part at the game, though, Cody, they were playing Sweet Carolina at one point, and it was in French, and it was great. It was hilarious to me.
But you could tell?
Oh, totally. Well, yeah. They still do the bump. Ba, ba, ba. They still do that. So that was cool at the game. I will say for me, just walking around the city, cause you know, we were staying downtown in Montreal and, seeing people just walking around from the grocery store with baguettes coming out of the, like a little thing like that. I'm like, this is cool. Like,
well, it feels right. Thing.
Yeah. I like it's,
people speaking French, eating baguettes,
French everywhere. Now you could get by clearly speaking English there. At first you sit down at a bar and they first will greet you in French, not just bonjour, but like they'll try to like, and you just see like English and then they flip a switch and you're good to go. But I just love being around that. That was cool to me. And then you'll be proud of me on the food. You guys know I'm a picky eater, okay? It's no secret if you listen to the show at all.
Yeah, I tell you to try new things. Very you'll find picky. Other things
I
you
did
like.
Try something new.
Good!
So not only did I have like the stuff they're known for, poutine or whatever, which it was okay.
And gravy covered fries.
It was okay. I had venison. So one of the meals on Saturday night, venison. It was like a multiple course thing because as I told you, I was there because my mom happened to have a work meeting there. And so In the evening of around dinner time, I would go to one of their events and then I would go do my own thing. And on Saturday, there was a really nice dinner we went to with the group. And there was one of the meals was venison. I had never had it and I was very skeptical. It's like super thin sliced, really tender. It didn't have much, like, I didn't feel like it even had much of a strong taste, which was good. I was worried it'd be like gamey or whatever. And it was very good. Now, would I like go out of my way to order it again? No. I'll take my filet. Thank you very much. But it was good. And so I was proud that I even tried the venison, Cody. very proud of that. The best food I had the whole trip. So I had a whole list of places I wanted to go. I told you last week, like, there's this deli I wanted to go to. They're known for like smoked meat. It was kind of like a corned beef sandwich. Okay. And it was very good. I had that yesterday for lunch. The best meal, and I went twice because the other people in the group wanted to try it after they heard me talking about it. So there's a Chinatown area.
Yeah.
In Montreal. And so it's like an humble, I mean, you probably could have gone in any of these restaurants and it would have been great. But I had done some research. This place had soup dumplings. So
I've had a soup dumpling.
I had never had one. So of course there's regular dumplings, but these are soup dumplings. And you could get anything from like a pork inside pork or teriyaki beef or chicken or you name it. And they bring out like 10, you can mix and match, but they bring out a box and just has 10 of these. You use chopsticks and you grab it. And inside of it, there's soup broth and then whatever filling. And it's clearly like made fresh right there. It was unbelievable. You would have loved it.
Soup dumplings are awesome. Does this encourage you to try some new foods? You tried something
reason,
new.
Within reason.
Why within reason? You might find out you love something not within reason. You can't know until you eat it. You just discovered a soup dumpling is something you love.
But soup dumpling, I knew, like, it wasn't like it
it's
was
dumpling
some,
related.
It wasn't adjacent. Like there was random like oysters inside of it or something where I wouldn't try. I mean, I got some that had beef or pork or chicken, and it was like the best meal I had. That was my favorite food wise that I had there, I would say. And then there were just different random tour things we did while we were there, behind the scenes. I didn't know. Did you know the world headquarters for Cirque du Soleil is in Montreal? I did not know that.
I did know that for, weird reason, but yes. The guy who started it is Guy Liberté something.
And he's got an amazing art a private art collection on site there. We got to see. It was cool. Quite ridiculous. But so we got a behind the scenes tour. And then the 1976 Olympics were in Montreal. It's the 50th anniversary. So we went to Olympic Park.
So the expos are named after.
Exactly.
The expositions.
Yep. Yeah. So Olympic Park and that whole area, which they're renovating. They're trying to reopen Olympic Park, which is kind of cool. And there was like this world diving competition going on while we were there, as we were touring that and stuff. So I enjoyed it. I was ready to get back home. But yesterday I was like, all right, time to get home. But I would love to go in the summertime because they have a ton of outdoor festivals and markets. And it was very cold.
What's the thing about the rave that people are talking about? You were at a rave?
No, I was not at a rave. So Canadian Saturday night rave? After dinner, dinner was near, the Festival Plaza is in English,
sure.
But this is what we would call it. But there was the first night of this like light festival, basically. And so if you were on my social at all and it's posted there, there was a video and one of the areas of the festival, it was packed, like shoulder to shoulder. It was crazy. Like, and so I'm just walking through, like literally like, the saying, like you feel like you're in a foreign country. Obviously I was in a foreign country, but I had never felt more like I was in a foreign country than where I'm shoulder to shoulder people. And I'm just this random American walking through this crowd of people. And it was just like, I thought there was a stage. I thought maybe there'd be like live music as in a band or singer or something. And no, it was just a DJ and dun, 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 constant techno the entire time. But it was a vibe though. Everybody was in heavy winter coats and it felt like you were in Canada. And it was just,
an outdoor rave in Canada.
That's what
February seems crazy to me.
Right.
Everybody was in their element.
Everybody was in their element.
Summertime thing?
You definitely needed to be like, so I stayed out there for like 40 minutes and then I was like, all right, this is too cold. Also, I needed to be drinking way more or needed to be on something else to continue hanging there at that. But yeah, I wouldn't call it a rave. It was this festival. It was free, open to the public. They had a bunch of, other things going on there as well. But I would encourage summertime I think would be cooler just because you can, it's a walking city for sure. Downtown, you can definitely walk around, and I got some steps in to say the least. But yeah, man, it was good. So how did the music go again? I think the morning show has a drop of me doing it. I didn't even need to do it again. The morning show made fun of me for that at one point in time. I don't know if we have it ready, but they did have a drop of me doing that from a couple weeks ago. I don't know how it's I'm not having the bass just thump thump. I'm not going. Well, that's not even what I just did, but they do have that one.
Same vibe.
So yeah, man. Someone texted me and said, if I go to Australia, kangaroo steak.
Feels weird.
I mean, if I'm in, I'll make whoever you are. I know who you are, but for the listeners,
Crikey, mate.
I know who it is that texted in.
Yeah.
If I ever am in Australia, I will try kangaroo steak. So,
nice.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Up next, guys, Jay Binkley had his best week of the year, his Super Bowl, the combine. I want to find out if he's buying what we saw, especially at wide receiver next.
I'm Brian. I work at United Healthcare.
So, Brian, why do you care?
I care because I don't want to leave anybody behind. I oversee one of the biggest resource centers in United Healthcare. I see people walked in my office every day, just like my parents. They have no idea about the healthcare. I feel like they are my uncles, aunties.
I treat these people like family. I'm Brian, and I'm committed to care.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
Just getting started here on a Monday. Cody and Gold, everybody back in the building, feeling good. To start the week, you guys interacting already on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Coming up in 25 minutes, we will talk more about the available running backs, not in the draft, but in free agency, although one of the names just got traded. If you missed it to start the show today, David Montgomery of the Lions has been traded to the Houston Texans. We'll discuss that compensation and if it's one you would think the Chiefs should have made as well, coming up in just a little bit. But let's head out to our friend Jay Binkley, who was kind enough to fill in for me for a couple days last week. Bink, the combine is in the rearview mirror. As it relates to the Chiefs, who do you think, I guess, made you a believer more out of the group of players you were keeping an eye on based on their performance?
Actually, it went the other way, Alex.
Okay.
It completely went the other way. But there's some fun things about it. Obviously, this Jeremiah Love thing is fun. And Cody and I talked about it Friday. I mean, we called it out. We said he's going to go to the combine. He is participating, which he's one of the few elite talent players actually doing the drills at the combine. But he's going to go, and he's going to put together a great combine. It is going to be a great combine, and everybody is going to be so enamored and so in love with Jeremiah Love, even though he was the same player. He hasn't played a game since Notre Dame season was done. But everybody was going to fall in love with those numbers, and you kept seeing the combine numbers. Let's not forget something. He's 6 foot, about 212 pounds. Isaiah Pacheco's 5'10 and 216. Isaiah Pacheco ran a 4.37 at the combine. Jeremiah Love ran a 4.37 and a 4.36. So let's slow down just a little bit. But I think it bodes well for the Chiefs, and I think he becomes more of a piece because I do see the Veach smoke screen that's going out there with Jeremiah Love when he's having, you know, press conferences and talking about, you know, getting that explosive back. And we all know with doing the combine tracking, you know, that I do each and every week, that maybe as much as 14 out of 25 mocks all have Jeremiah Love to the Chiefs. He talked about the Chiefs at the combine. Everybody's talking about it. So if people are worried about it, do they want to jump the Chiefs at 9, the Saints at 8, or do they want to make a deal and get into the top 10 because they think that's the direction the Chiefs are going? But his combine results actually help the Kansas City Chiefs because it becomes more of a trade chip if they happen to trade down.
Are you some of this is like the combine, and I understand that we have to take everything with a grain of salt. But it was twice this weekend, or I guess over the point of the combine, that Adam Schefter felt the need to, like, I don't know, do lip service for the agents, where it's like,
yeah,
well, I don't know. You know, some people's stopwatches said that he was the fastest man alive and he was Usain Bolt, even though Carnell Tate ran a slow 40. And then the same thing had happened earlier in the week with Ruben Bain's arms or whatever.
Yeah.
Do we, I mean, I guess I just take these stock measurements more than I do whatever thing Adam Schefter is trying to spin.
It's tough, and you're hearing about guys didn't interview well and stuff like that, but I'm with you on Schefter, and people called it right out, too. When he put out the thing about Bain, and, well, Bain, there might have been two players, and let's keep this in mind, too. The Senior Bowl measurements are much different than what happened at the Combine, which shouldn't happen. You should have one standard measuring system, but somebody put out on Twitter as well, this Brad on Twitter, he goes, yes, officer, I know you clocked me going 78 to 65, but several NFL executives and GMs had times in the 62 to 64 range. That is 100% accurate, because when you get out there, that you know, you guys know how these scouts work at the combine. They sit up in the suites and they only show a video of which GMs are in what suite. So the GM's sitting there and he's got his Starbucks in one hand and a stopwatch in the other. And that is supposed to be more accurate than the actual laser timed 40-yard dash happening on the field. I'm not buying it. It's the agent getting a hold of him and said, hey, man, what are you doing to my guy? You're crushing him. But it's pretty transparent, and it was pretty weak on Adam Schefter's part involving Ruben Bain and Carnell Tate.
We're talking to Jay Binkley here on 96.5 The Fan. Let's talk about the wide receiver group. You mentioned Tate's name there, disappointing 40-yard dash. In general, I do think some of this gets a little overrated, but
100%.
Out of the wide receiver room now, based on what you did see at the combine and what you already felt, what changed? Did anything change for you when you look at these receiver options for the Chiefs at 9, or I guess later on as well?
Not a ton. I wish that Mekhi Lemon would have ran, but I understand why a lot of these guys don't. And, you know, the NFL love putting out those 40 times, and it's the fastest group of running backs mm-hmm. that we've seen. But the problem is 21 running backs went to the combine, only 10 ran. So the piece of the pie is going to be much different when it comes to, you know, actual measurements. But, yeah, I wish Lemon would have ran. Yeah, he did the on-the-field drills, and that was good to see. And Carnell Tate, you had to think that the 40 time wasn't going to be. He's not known, you know, as a 100% blazer in what he can do. But, you know, let's not forget, if I went to Target there next door and I asked 10 people who the best receiver in the NFL was last year, who had the most catches in the NFL, I'm sure Puka's name would come up a few times. Oh, that Puka Nacua. He ran a 4.57 at the combine. So always have to take some of these numbers with a grain of salt.
Who did you think, I guess, out of the – anybody jump out to you in the defensive line stuff, good or bad, other than the arms, obviously, from Bain, or from the wide receivers? Like, is there somebody you didn't think we were entertaining that maybe we should?
Not really. I still think that second tier, and there's a lot of second tier guys that didn't run. Zion Young is one of the guys that didn't run. David Bailey going out there and being part of it, but he's going to go way before the Chiefs made a selection. I think Caleb Banks – really helped himself from the interior part of the defensive line with the arm length and everything he possesses. Yeah, he missed a lot of games. He only played, what, 4 games last year, so that's going to be a concern. But it's tough to not look at the combine numbers and become enamored with it. The interviews are actually what gets better. And if teams are actually showing an interest in a player, they'll bring him in for a top 30 visit. And maybe not. Sometimes they use it as a smokescreen. Although the Chiefs have used the top 30 visit and have drafted people from it. Kingsley Suamatia came in for a top 30 visit. Josh Simmons came in for a top 30 visit. So, yeah, they do draft players that did not come in for a top 30 visit because you want to throw a smokescreen that you're not really interested in said player. It's really a chess game from here until the draft with these GMs. But I think Caleb Banks really helped himself on the interior part of the defensive line. He really showed up. I really like that second group, like Moore at Michigan, Zion Young at Missouri, Gabe Jackus, who showed up being incredibly strong at the combine. You know, guys like that in the second tier. And you can make an argument with the wide receivers, Casey Concepcion. You know, is he a guy that you like better? Chris Brazel from Tennessee, who had a really good combine at wide receiver for the 6'4". He listed at 6'5", but he measured there at 6'4", but still – just a great combine for what he did. Jacoby Lane didn't have the numbers of Mekhi Lemon, but man, he showed out at the combine, catching everything extremely, you know, big hands, arm length, wingspan, everything that you want to see. But he would catch the ball with his hands and not his body. It's like a true pass catcher and a guy that you can see getting open in space for the Chiefs. So that would be a very helpful thing, being able to get open and catch the football. So there was a lot of guys. Mike Washington, the running back at Arkansas, ran a 4.33. He helped his draft stock. He's probably going all the way up to running back number three as far as what the combine did. But the combine is still what it is. Guys show up. They may do the interviews. Some run the 40. Most don't. So it is tough to get a good read on numbers.
Tight end is a little bit further down the list in terms of positions that I'd be interested in at nine, depending on how this pre-agency goes for Kansas City. But Kenyon Sadiq, there's no doubt he was extremely impressive. So was Stowers. Yeah. Stowers in the vertical. Sadiq had the fastest 40 by a tight end since, what, 2003, I think I saw over the weekend. Do you have much interest? If I told you the Chiefs addressed free agents, running back and free agency, if they pulled off a trade, let's say, for a defensive lineman, can you be talked into a tight end, and maybe it's Kenyon Sadiq at nine?
Yeah, I mean, you could be talked into it, but they'd have to be extremely active on March 9th through 11th. I mean, it'd have to be a running back being brought in here. And even if they grab like a Tyler Algier, Rico Dowdle, or a Travis Etienne, they still say, hey, we're still going to draft one in the third round. Okay. But if you address the wide receiver, and let's face it, you know, maybe making a trade might be a better possibility considering some of the talent at the top of the draft for wide receivers. That could be a situation. What if they bring in like a Bradley Chubb for the end? And so they really address these positions, and then they look and say, okay, that's by far the best player. Caleb Downs is gone. That is the best player. I could see them moving off of it. And they might be in a situation where they move off of it, depending on what they do in free agency, because, again, a lot of guys at the positions they need at the combine, the top guys, didn't exactly perform like you'd want to see.
Jay Binkley, appreciate it, man. I know last week was fun for you. You guys got a new mock coming out soon for Character Concerns?
Yeah, we'll do the rewind of the combine, all the fun stuff that happened, the guys that kind of blew us away with their numbers, kind of what the combine is becoming with the guys doing events or not. Should they be or should they not be doing the drills? It was kind of funny, by the way, Jeremiah Love, after he ran, he and his dad, like, they were not happy with the 4.36. Like, that's one of the things you do like. Like, normally someone would be really happy getting a 4.36. They didn't look happy, and I like to see that kind of attitude. It's like, man, I could do this much better. But if you're unhappy with the 4.36, how fast are you really? Because that's impressive.
Thank you, Bink.
All right, guys. Take
care. There you go. That's Jay Binkley talking some draft with us here on Cody and Gold.
I'm naked a lot.
And I guess that happens as well for Bink. Appreciate him filling in last week.
A lot?
I do not know. I do not know. Yeah, look, I do think how we started the conversation there, and I didn't know you guys talked about it on Friday. I think whether it was for Caleb Downs or Jeremiah Love heading into the combine, Sadiq, I guess, throw him in the conversation as well. Those were guys we all knew were going to be impressive in Indianapolis.
And were impressive.
And were impressive. Yeah. And naturally, as fans, when you look at a running back, that's a fun position, number one. It just is. It's a playmaker position. And you see the gifts that he has. It's easy to get talked into that. And I'm just saying, I still believe, and we're going to talk about running backs in 15 minutes. To me, there's still free agent options out there that I think are better allocation of resource than spending the ninth overall pick on Love. And I hope Bink is correct, which is, you're just going to continue to see the Chiefs try to float out there that they really will take a running back at nine. And I don't think they're willing to do it anyway. Like, and Jeremiah Love might end up being a great player in this league. I do think there's this organization in particular, after some of the prior whiffs at running back, and the whiff, as we all know, at with Clyde.
Yeah,
I don't think is the organization that's taken a running back at nine.
I don't think so either. I think it's really hard when you've been burned, and it's not like defensive end, wide receiver, the ones that people will take whether you make a mistake in those selections or not. They have, by all accounts, had functional offenses with bad running backs. I understand they need more juice, and they know they need more juice. But Love, I mean, that's like swinging for the homer. I mean, that's going all the way in. And I guess part of me is, out of the elite level quarterbacks,
Allen, is he the only one that has like an elite level back? Like out of the quarterback game? I guess people might have thought Chase Brown would have entered that conversation. Brown had a really, really good year 2 years ago.
Lamar's had Derrick Henry, so I think that's...
Yeah. That fits for sure. I mean, Matthew Stafford has been an MVP. I mean, won the MVP, has been a top 5-6 quarterback in football for a couple of years. I wouldn't say he has an elite back, but their backfield wasn't really good.
Right?
Their backfield combo of Williams and Corum, not too bad at all. I would have loved that combination in the Chiefs backfield the last year or so.
I think Chase Brown probably pushes to be a top 10 back. I don't know if you'd put him in that category. But I think he's in that sort of conversation.
It's hard because if you just look at like who the best running backs on the league were last year, were they on the best teams? James Cook, yes. Derrick Henry ended up no last year, even though he was, I think, second in the NFL in rushing. He didn't end up being on a great team, but he was on a great team the year before. Then it was Jonathan Taylor and Bijan. They were on non-playoff teams.
It's the combination. And unless you're going to have the truly the top one, you kind of want the combo. This is where, for the Chiefs, we talk about their running back plan. It doesn't have to just be one player. It needs to be a combination. It's why I keep throwing out Algier. Algier, to me, you pair with somebody else as well. I understand if you get Breece Hall and you maybe don't feel like you have to, or you get a Kenneth Walker, you maybe don't feel like you have to. So we'll talk backs in 10 minutes.
Yeah, okay. I'll save it for that. I was going to bring something up. Anyways.
Meanwhile, over the weekend, I know you didn't get to catch a lot of the game because you were in Montreal.
Yeah.
Really, it's just more of a trend than anything else. Kansas got its ass kicked in the second half of Arizona. For some reason, you missed it like Gold did. It was.
Yeah, I saw the score. I was like, what the
Kansas
hell happened?
Kansas was getting its ass kicked by Arizona.
From the jump almost.
Made a tremendous run where Darren Peterson took over the game for a little while, was scoring, rebounding, distributing. He was doing everything. And they got within 10 points. And then Arizona went on like an 18-0 run or 18-3 run or whatever it was and ended up dog walking Kansas at Arizona. The one thing I'll say about this as it relates to Kansas's tournament hopes, because that's all that's left now. They are who they are. They firmly established that they hot and cold and all this other stuff is, can they win a game that's not at Allen Fieldhouse? They have beaten a lot of very impressive opponents this year, some of the best teams in the country, on Monday night at Allen Fieldhouse. Outside of those games, this team hasn't looked good at all in like 2 months. Like, it doesn't seem like they can win a game outside of Lawrence.
Did they beat Iowa State in Ames?
No, that was in Lawrence.
They got their ass kicked in Ames.
No, like, if it's not at the field house, they look like a different team. You know, do I think also, you know, that particular game, admittedly, I did not watch it. As you said, I was out of the country. But based off of what I've seen post and reading up on it, Arizona finally got back to full strength. Kansas had ruined their perfect season a couple weeks earlier. Felt like a bit of a perfect storm. Now I don't know exactly how. Like, did the KU just play, you know, terrible defense early? I did not go
they
back and watch the
trouble.
Whole game.
Their bigs played really bad. Flory and Tiller played really bad in that game.
But it is a legit concern. What will this team travel come March? Now, I do like seeing, it looked like Darren Peterson actually had a nice outing for Kansas. Now it's the balance. Like, the team matters more than him, but I'm just saying, you know, that whole story, we all know ultimately in March, him being that level is going to bode well for them most times, I think. But they're a flawed team. You know, it goes back to Kelvin Sampson's comments after the Houston win for KU. Bill Self said it, and that is they can play up and down to competition. Now, Arizona, you need to play up. They're one of the best teams in the country. They didn't get near their level of play. But that is the concern with them. You know, they can go on a deep run in the tournament. They can win the Big 12 tournament as well, or they could get knocked out guys on Wednesday night or whenever they play.
It feels like teams are figuring out how to guard Darren Peterson, or just this team in general. It's not even Darren Peterson.
I mean, he shot like 20 times, but I mean, he's still shot okay.
He was 8 for 21. His percent, if you look at the last 6 weeks, his percentages have not been particularly great. Like, he's played fine. He's played good. But I think a lot of teams are taking the stance of, we're going to make it very difficult for Darren Peterson. He's so good that it's going to work out sometimes, but we're going to make sure Darren Peterson doesn't go off in a game like where he was going to do at Oklahoma State till he pulled himself. If you limit Darren, if you let Darren score 20, fine. Let Darren score his 20 and 25. If you can stop everybody else, you're going to win the game. And I think that's the way that teams have just decided to defend Kansas. I think Houston did a great job of making it hard on him. Iowa State did a great job of making it hard on Darren. And if you just look at, again, percentage-wise, it hasn't been particularly great in against good teams in particular. Like, if you look at the Iowa State, the Houston, the Arizona game, his shooting isn't all that
he's in a
great percentage-wise, which I think is what good teams are realizing is, if you can make it difficult, particularly the good defensive ones, you got then they got to rely on Fleury.
Yeah,
look, they got to rely on Bryson Tiller. Trey White had a great game. Otherwise, they wouldn't have won the other night.
Right.
I think that there's a way that they're figuring out how to defend. Like, that great player is going to score because he's a great player. But if you can limit everybody else, you're going to win the game. And that's kind of where they're stuck in, I think, at this moment. They don't have anybody else, particularly off the bench.
I think some of this we have to realize the teams we're talking about, they're not winning on the road against, other than the one-offs, are again, you know, the
great
Big 12.
Teams.
We all agree the Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball. And we all agree that there's probably five teams that are legit national, maybe four.
Iowa State, Arizona,
title contenders. So some of it is just, and you can say, well, that's the type of team you have to beat in the tournament. I understand that, but
these
are neutral site, and these will be in the these are Elite Eight, Final Four type of
at UCF, at West Virginia,
Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, who lost against TCU? Iowa State lost at TCU. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying that's the challenge of the Big 12. Kansas did get a road win at Texas Tech, by the way.
And that was before Toppin was hurt.
Toppin was available in that.
Mentioning
it's there's plenty of questions, and there are fair questions around them. I don't think anybody should be panicking about.
I do think Bill
Self
was correctly critical afterwards. Like, he was like, guys were taking selfish shots. You know, we didn't come ready, and they punched us in the mouth, and you know, we were not playing good unified basketball, if you will, was kind of paraphrasing what he said. I thought it was it does feel like there was a moment too where, I don't know, obviously you didn't watch Gold. I don't know if you saw it, Cody.
I did.
They had a huddle. Bill Self was pissed off in the huddle. Like he was not happy.
This team annoys him.
I think he's and not even that Darren, like, talking to the media and other things like that has helped this, but it feels like just in this last little week, he feels comfortable getting in the face of some of his players even a little bit more than maybe he was 2 weeks ago, which I think just ultimately is going to help them down the stretch as we get into, of course, the Big 12 tournament and maybe even into the tournament. He doesn't feel like he's beating around the bush to get to a point. He's openly saying it with his players in the huddle, and I think that helps with the communication of everything.
Despite the fact that last year's team was significantly worse, I think this one annoys him more because he knows what it's capable of at its best.
Oh, for sure.
At its best, it has legitimately beaten some of the best teams in the entire country.
But that
last year's team was never going to accomplish any of those.
Yeah,
things,
what you just said though is the same thing, which is the ceiling. They can beat anybody. They can lose to just about anybody. That's where the frustration.
That's a lot of teams this year too. A lot of them. Iowa State included.
Now, I will say, like, annoyed maybe is the right word, because I actually think he hated last year's team. I think he actually loves this year's team. I really do.
I do. I think that's why it annoys him more. It's you're like the. It's just like not turning in the work. I totally agree with you. I think he really likes the players in the group. He's frustrated that they haven't just like had it all click for three straight weeks with no questions.
How did they
not lose a basketball game, but like not just like get walked over in the second half against Arizona?
That makes the tournament, like, outside of maybe Duke, Michigan, and Arizona. And even they've slipped up.
Wild.
Like, tournament is going to be absolutely insane.
Cannot wait. We are in the month of March, man. It's here. March Madness is just weeks away. Selection Sunday, a couple Sundays away. Up next, let's talk more about the running backs, including a running back in the NFL that just got traded this morning. I think the compensation is a bit steep. I don't know if I would want the Chiefs to have made this trade. We'll explain what it looked like next.
I'm Brian. I work at UnitedHealthcare.
So, Brian, why do you care?
I care because I don't want to leave anybody behind. I oversee one of the biggest resource centers in UnitedHealthcare. I see people walked in my office every day, just like my parents. They have no idea about the healthcare. I feel like they are my uncles, aunties. I treat these people like family. I'm Brian, and I'm committed to care.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.